In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Spirit Sanctifier, here I implore you, I pray you again. May your will known to all, so that by knowing it, they may love it and may welcome your first act of their complete sanctification, which is your holy will. Mary, Seed of Wisdom, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we will continue with the letters. Luisa's letters, and to see what is the teaching that she gives us in these letters and the spiritual advice that she gives to the people that she has corresponded with. Linda, you want to read?
Yes. Letter number 57 to a religious superior. In Voluntate Dei. Most Reverend Mother, thank you for your holy wishes and your dear souvenirs. I don't know how to thank you. Good Jesus thanks you in my place, and with all my heart, I return your wishes. But do you want to know what my wish is? That the divine fiat may take your will away from you and give you its own, so as to form in you its life, its kingdom, and its heaven in your soul. Oh, how happy you will be, living no longer from a human will, but from the divine will. It will give you perennial peace, which is so necessary in order to form the daylight in our soul. Disturbances, fears, little mistrusts are the night of the soul and make her see all things as opposite to what they are. The night hides the warmth of the divine sun from us and maybe even Jesus himself. On the other hand, peace is the smile of the soul and the spring which makes the little ground of our soul bloom. It removes from us the veil of disturbance and reveals to us the one who loves us so much. But if you want peace, you must live from the divine will. It alone gives us true peace and encloses the celestial fatherland in our heart. I beg you to make of your community the little kingdom of the fiat voluntas tua, on earth as it is in heaven. If you do so, you will have a flourishing community. The will of each one will be the will of all. You will have one single strength and will form the little heaven on earth. Therefore, I beg you, since you wanted a word from me, that you all do the divine will. Place the fiat before and after each one of your acts. Everything you want, leave it completely in the divine volition. Do not worry, and it will take on the commitment of all your things. I send the greeting of the divine fiat to my dear cousin, and I beg her to make herself a saint and never to leave the infinite sea of the divine volition. Tell her to pray for me, as I assure her that I do it for her. I commend myself very much to your prayers, and leaving you crossing the unending sea of the fiat, I say, your most devoted servant, Luisa Picaretta, Corrado, April 16th, 1929. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. You know, this letter that is addressed to A sister, I assume she's probably the superior of the community. And as we always see in the letters of Luisa, that she gives spiritual advice and then she teaches about the kingdom of the divine will. And even though this letter is for a religious, we can take something from this letter also. First of all, the aspect that she is telling us that the divine will, the fiat, wants to form its life, its kingdom in the soul. It wants to have its heaven in the soul of the creature. And when she mentions, I beg to make of your community the little kingdom of the divine fiat. And then she says that the will of each one will be the will of all. This can be applied to all of us because it comes to mind those who are married. You know, your will has to be the will of one will in marriage, reigning only. Two wills cannot reign. The gospel tells us, sacred scripture tells us that you cannot serve both God and mammon. You cannot serve two masters. So this is true also in the life of marriage, that there has to be one will that reigns in that relationship. In our relationship with God is the same. It has to be one will that reigns, and it cannot be our will. It has to be God's will. So many times we want God to adapt himself to our will. And even though the divine will adapts itself to our capacities so that we may understand what the divine will is, the divine will never adjust to the human will. It has to be the other way around. The human will always consenting and with the divine will. And this is when we begin living in this way, the fruit of that is peace. That constant peace, as Luisa Picaretta mentions, that the perennial peace, that constant peace always. She even mentions that peace is the smile of the soul. Last week, we were talking about some passages that talk about peace and how peace is so important because it's also one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. If you look at the Catechism and you see the 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit, peace is one of them. And here, as we see that Luisa Picaretta mentions that in order for that kingdom to be established in our soul, for the life of heaven to be established in our soul, in order for the soul to become the little heaven of the Blessed Trinity, basically, we have to have one will with him. One will with him, one will with God. And for us, the key is the humanity of our Lord. In the person of our Lord Jesus, we see that are the two wills united perfectly, and the human will always consenting and reigning, the divine will reigning over the human will. In theology, the church calls that the hypostatic union, the union of the two wills. Because in our Lord Jesus, that's what we see, two wills, two natures, human and divine. But the human will always consenting with the divine will, never having a act of its own, but always together with the divine will. And this is what Luisa Picaretta is basically telling us. that if we want to have that kingdom in our soul, the life of heaven in us, if we want to enter into the relationship of the Blessed Trinity, basically, we have to have that one will, unite our human will with the divine. And this is the divine science, basically. This is what our Lord Jesus wants us to do in order to live in the divine will. For Luisa Picaretta, it took a lot of time, the instruction that the Lord Jesus gives in the first volumes. And then when Luisa begins living in this way, everything she does is uniting herself with the will of God and then going around, doing her rounds, and basically uniting herself with the will of God. And as you see in the first volumes, our Lord Jesus teaches Luisa how to have that intention, the purity of intention, which is to do everything for the praise and glory of God, that she may do even the smallest act with intention to praise God, to adore God. And then as she learns how to live in this way, then she moves on, and then you see in the higher volumes of the Book of Heaven how Luisa Picaretta now, she is just going around, doing her rounds in creation, taking the attributes of God, his own qualities, and corresponding to God with everything that God is, basically. We know that the qualities, the attributes of God, they help us to understand who God is, his divine nature. And even though our human mind cannot really understand in its fullness the nature of God and those qualities and the divine qualities of God, through this knowledge of who God is, through his divine qualities, we come to know also who he is, and we come to understand how now, through these writings of the servant of God Luisa Picaretta, we are able to correspond with everything that God is, with his own attributes. So if you see in the higher levels of the Book of Heaven, this is what Luisa Picaretta is doing. But in order for her to be able to arrive to that point, she needed to be instructed, catechized. And now this is what she's doing with this correspondence, also giving them spiritual advice, telling them in a very simple way, you must have one will with the Lord, one will with the divine will. You want to have that peace. You want to have that life in your soul. This is what you have to do. And for us, this advice that she's given to these sisters, you can say it applies for us because it's the same that our Lord Jesus wants for all of us. Actually, that kingdom, the kingdom of the divine will, is established in our baptism, because God gives us faith, hope, and charity, and he gives us that grace that comes with those theological virtues, which is God giving himself, basically, to the creature. This is what God does. He gives himself to us in many different ways. This is the life of God, even the inner life of the Blessed Trinity, giving himself constantly, the Father to the Son and the Son to the Father. And then in that exchange of love and self-giving comes the Holy Spirit, which is love itself also. And we see the inner life of God is just self-giving. He gives himself to himself, and then he gives himself to the creature, and he wants us creatures to give ourselves to him. And he gives us that grace through the sacraments, especially through the sacrament of baptism, in which he initiates everything. And that grace has the power to strip the soul of everything that is not from God. This is what he says in volume 4, June 30th, 1901. When he talks about grace in the soul, he says, he's talking about grace, and he says that the interior grace that resides in the soul, on seeing externally the fruit of her own womb, that is, upon recognizing herself in those things which form her very essence, corresponds with them and makes the soul experience such joy and sweetness to that one. So that soul cannot even express that joy, but he says that interior grace that the soul experiences is real. And he says that the soul who possesses grace, he says grace is peaceful and has the virtue of casting peace into others. So grace has the virtue of casting peace into others. So much so that the same things said by one who does not possess grace make no impression and bring no peace. We receive first this gift of grace in the sacrament of baptism. God initiates everything. One who possesses grace, they possess in a marvelous way and restore peace in their hearts. And this is exactly what happens. Grace restores peace in the soul of the newly baptized. And when grace resides in the soul, then the Lord says this gift basically grows and helps the soul to get rid of everything that does not belong to God. And the purpose for this grace, or the purpose for this divine assistance that God gives us through the sacraments is that one day we may come to the possession of the gift that was lost at the beginning. Everything points towards the restoration, towards the possession of the gift that was lost, basically to go back to the point of origin. If we can see this as we read the Book of Heaven, as we try to live in the divine will, and if we can see that this is the point that our Lord wants us to arrive, basically is what Luisa Picaretta is saying, to have the life of heaven in our soul. Now, it's not going to be the same as it was in the beginning. It will be in a mystical way, yes. But it's not going to be the same with the same clarity that Adam and Eve were able to see it and to experience it. And for this, that's why we need faith, because we have to believe even though we don't see it. So the more merit for us. That's what faith comes in, that even though we don't see it, we believe it, and we continue to do our acts, we continue to give ourselves to God through every single act, basically imitating the life of the Blessed Trinity, the inner life of the Blessed Trinity. And this is how we come to participate. We enter into that union and we come to participate in the inner life of the Blessed Trinity right here, right now. And it is mystical because we don't see it. It's hidden, basically. It's a mystical way. Mystical meaning hidden, is hidden in us. So we have to learn how to see through the spiritual eyes so that we may have one will with God. Just in the same way that in the Blessed Trinity there is one will among the three divine persons, we in our relationship with God, there is only one will reigning, and it has to be God's will reigning in us. Then you will be able to see that the inner life of the Blessed Trinity is being reproduced in each one of us. What we call it ad intra, now we say it ad extra. And now we see that God gives himself constantly through nature, through creation, through the sacraments. So we must learn to give ourselves using those things that we see through every single act of creation, through every single act of redemption, even through his own attributes, loving him with his own love, praising him with his own beauty, adoring him with his own majesty, loving him perfectly, eternally, just going around and seeking all the divine qualities, praising him with his own wisdom. Just go through your sacrament of confirmation and look at all the gifts. God gave himself to you through those gifts. So adore, praise, glorify God through the same gifts that he deposited in your soul. Then you begin to correspond. Then the purpose of creation is being accomplished in each one of us. Then the kingdom of the divine will, the kingdom of heaven, begins to be established and being restored also in your soul. Then the fruits of those acts of redemption really begin. Excuse me, the acts of redemption really begin to give fruits, to produce fruits in your soul, because we learn now to give ourselves and to use those acts to praise, to adore, to glorify God, to correspond to Him, basically to give ourselves through every single act. And then we see that then we begin to reproduce that inner life of the Blessed Trinity outside of the Blessed Trinity. So we become mirrors of God's divine life basically operating in us. So let's go to the next letter to see what Luisa Picaretta says in the next one.
Letter number 58 to a religious superior. My good and reverend mother, I received your letter so pleasing to me, and in reading it, I felt in my poor heart the notes of your sorrow, of your bitterness, and of the isolation in which you find yourself. My mother, courage, Don't lose heart, because despondency exhausts courage and strength and renders us unable to do good. If you throw all these notes of sorrow and isolation into the sea of the eternal volition, they will give you a greater right that the divine fiat be not only your life, but your guide, support, and inseparable companion, so as to form with it everything which befits you as superior to do and command. Don't you feel this divine help within yourself? Don't you feel in your heart the presence of a powerful hand that guides you? Therefore, my mother, abandon yourself in the divine volition like a little baby, and you will feel a new strength, a new light arise, which embracing you will tell you, I am always with you. The isolation in which your people leave you will be rewarded by my faithful company. Although unworthy, I will pray from the heart that Jesus may console you and give you so much grace as to be able to enjoy peace in the midst of many storms, and that all your daughters may want to listen to your maternal word, commanding them for their own good. Now, let us come to us, and I will tell you this because you want to know it. Otherwise, I would have done without. After the coming of Martucci Tetrani, the publication of the divine volition is sleeping. There is no care. It seems to me that all they are doing is just palliatives and games. While they should be thinking that they do not make fun of me, but of a divine volition. My mother, in order to do some good, it takes someone who feels the life of that good. If this life is not felt, it will be done in a forced way and even badly. And with a forced good, the creature feels the ground missing underneath her feet and lacks the time and strength. In the end, fiat, fiat. May the fiat dispose whatever and whoever it wants. I want nothing but the divine will to be done. Implore the Lord's help for me, and may he forgive these little vents. Father Benedetto blesses you, and my sister sends you all her regards. And leaving you always in the divine volition, I kiss your right hand and say, your most devoted servant, Luisa Picaretta. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. I think last week also we were talking about the this passage about the inflated balloons that our Lord Jesus mentions, that sometimes the souls, they feel that they are able to do all the sacrifices and everything. But then later, because the lack of perseverance, then you feel like you don't want to do anything. I think that's August 14, 1917. I think that will be volume, is it 11 or 12? I think it's 12. There will be 12, yeah. Volume 12, August 14, 1917. And you see that when Luisa Picaretta gives this advice to abandon oneself in the divine volition like a baby. He says, and then he says, you will feel the new strength. And this is also what our Lord wants us. In order for us to possess this gift, he wants us to have that trust in him. Even to Sister Faustina, you know, we see that Jesus, I trust in you. So he really wants to see that we trust in him, that we really want this gift to operate in us, to abandon ourselves in him. And for us, we really have to do this. Not to be discouraged, but to, as Luisa Picaretta says, to have courage. It's so easy for us to be discouraged with things and everything and to be like those inflated balloons, but constancy is the characteristic also of the saints, that they are able to go through many different situations in life and to live in a heroic way, the virtues, the theological virtues, that even in the moments that they don't see, they remain faithful. One of the saints that comes to mind is Mother Teresa. If you read her diary, now that the last 10 years, basically she felt nothing and she continued with her mission. She continued with her mission. And to live in the divine will, exteriorly, you don't see anything. There is nothing extraordinary. The Lord, of course, bestows that peace that He says, you will have that peace, you will have that inner joy, you will be able to penetrate the divine truths that you find in the Book of Heaven. But also, it requires constancy. It requires faith. And you see what Luisa Picaretta is doing in these letters. She's giving courage, is encouraging these sisters. She's giving them basically hope, and a little by little teaching them about the divine will, what the divine will is, what this divine science is, what gives to the soul, how the soul is transformed through the divine will operating in the soul. And from this we can see is the inner life of the Blessed Trinity again. The Blessed Trinity wants to come and live in the soul, wants to establish its kingdom in the soul of the creature. And this is what also the revelation of the Sacred Heart of Jesus is all about, that Jesus wants to be constituted as the king of every single heart. Now we can go even deeper. We can say that he wants to be constituted as the king of every single act of the creatures. We can see here the first commandment, that he is really a jealous God, that he wants us to love him with all our heart, our mind, our soul. And you see, one of the powers of the soul is the will, and the will produces acts. So he wants to be loved with every single act. You see how the first commandment, now it is really fulfilled through the living in the divine will. When you are in line with his will, and when you enthrone his will in your heart, in your soul. So I always tell the people, I'm always telling to have that constant awareness of the presence of the divine will operating in us, to be always calling the divine will to operate in us. We have that constant awareness of God's love in creation for us. And to have that constant awareness that we want to give ourselves to God. This is what the Lord says in that passage of the Book of Heaven, Volume 12, August 6, 1910. Excuse me, August 14, 1917, he says the following, referring to the souls that one day they feel like they want to do all the sacrifices and then the next day they don't want to do anything. He says, these souls are like inflated balloons. A little hole is enough for the earth to come out, and their sanctity goes up in smoke and falls to the ground. We can apply this to our situations, you know, when everything goes well, then we are like those souls who are so high up there, loving God. Then we experience a little tribulation and then we go down. It's like those tribulations, they represent those little holes. They are enough for this for the earth to come out. Their sanctity goes up in smoke and falls to the ground. These poor balloons have always something to say. They are mostly inclined to sadness. They live always in doubt, and therefore would like to have a director for themselves. Who will advise them, give them peace, and console them in everything, in every little thing? But they are soon more agitated than before. Poor sanctity, how forged it is. No, so to have that trust only in the Lord. It says, true sanctity is doing the divine will and in living in the divine volition. This sanctity sinks its roots so deep that there is no danger that it may oscillate because it fills earth and heaven, and everywhere it finds its support. This soul is firm, not subject to inconstances, to voluntary defects. She is attentive to her duties. She is the most sacrificed, detached from everyone and from everything, even from directions themselves. And since the roots are deep, she rises so high that the flowers and fruits blossom in heaven. And she is so hidden in God that the earth sees little or nothing in this soul. That mystical presence, remember, hidden. Or the word mystical means hidden. So this way of living is a very mystical because the will of God hidden in us, in our humanity. There is nothing extraordinary about these souls. The divine will keeps her absorbed within herself. Only Jesus is the author, the life, the form of the sanctity of this creature. She has nothing of her own, but everything is in common with Jesus. Her passion is the divine will. Her characteristic is the will of Jesus. And the fiat, her constant motto. And then later he says, only Jesus is everything for them. Therefore, nobody worries because of them. So this is what we are called to be, like those souls that are rooted in the divine will. To have our trust in the Lord As we learn how to live in this way, I was mentioning going around and finding the attributes of God, who God is, to love God in that way. So we know that God is perfection, that God is eternity. So we can say something like, I love you in a perfect way. I love you with your own perfection. I love you with your own simplicity. It's a very good exercise. Try to find all the attributes of God and then correspond to God with those same attributes. I love you with your own immensity, with your own joy, I correspond you. With your own peace, I ask you for the gift of peace for my soul and for all the human race. Also, we know that God is total purity. So I praise you with your own purity. We know that God is perfect innocence. With your own innocence, I love you. So just try to do this exercise. Try to find everything that God is and correspond to him with everything that he is. And you will see what happens in your soul. This is to imitate. To do this is to imitate, as creatures, the life of the inner life of the Blessed Trinity. But a little by little, because we are finite creatures. God the Father is able to give himself all at once to the Son, and the Son is able to correspond to the Father all at once. But we have to be like those little bees that goes around picking up the pollen from the flowers, finding everything that God is, and then giving it back. Filling those honey cones with everything that God is, finding and putting it, giving it back. So it's a very good exercise. You will see in your own spiritual life how you are able to advance. To adore God with his own splendor, with his own light, with his own immensity, with his own power, with his own strength, and so on. And asking also, at the same time, for the gift with the voice of his own divinity, with the voice of his own will, to ask for the gift of the divine will for us and for the rest of humanity. To love him with his own sanctity, with his own divinity. We are talking about now about the attributes, but then we can go on and on with all the work of creation and redemption and sanctification. To adore God with his own being, with everything that he is, to love him with everything that he is, to correspond with everything that he is, and with everything that he is, asking him to give us the gift. It's mind-blowing if you stop and think about this. This is a different way of praying, but this is the way that Adam was praying at the beginning. And this is how he came to know his father, his creator. That's why he immediately is able to exclaim as soon as he receives that breath in his nostrils. Immediately he wakes up, he comes into life, and at once he's able to understand through the power of his intellect that he was created out of love, and he exclaims, "Thank you, my God and my Father, the author of my life." And this is as he entered into this relationship corresponding to God, he was able to grow in the likeness of God, meaning to enter into that light of who God is, to penetrate that light, and also himself growing and becoming more like God. In the sense that he was receiving, he was being filled with all the divine qualities because he was operating with the divine qualities in him. He received the divine love that gave him life. So with that divine love, with that perfect divine love, he was able to say, "Thank you, my God and my Father." To praise God with his own wisdom. To adore him with his own knowledge. To love him with his own divine word, with his own divine son. So I hope you get the point of what I'm trying to say to you. I don't want to be too repetitive because I don't want to bore you too much. But this is the way of praying. This is how we have to advance. And I encourage you to practice this way of meditating, practice this way of corresponding to God. And you will, hopefully, you will be able to experience a little by little, the difference in your own spiritual life, and you'll be able to advance also in the knowledge of this divine science. So let us finish today with this passage, and let us ask the Lord to give us the grace to advance in the knowledge and understanding of the divine will, and that his kingdom may be established and expanded in our souls, in the souls of all the human race. May it be for the praise and glory of the Blessed Trinity. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon each one of you and remain with you forever.